Good to be in God's house this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We got a lot to praise Him for. And I appreciate what our brother was saying about the need for prayer. You know, it becomes really alive to us when things come our way. You know, a lot of times we think, well, all those ailments and problems belong to everybody else, but they don't. After a while, it becomes us, doesn't it? And so we're the church, and we're the recipients of God's great grace, as he was praying. And so we often think we're always going to live forever, but we're not. And we've got that testimony all around us. And so God didn't put us here to stay. He put us here to leave. Amen. And so we don't like that, because the humanity of us, you know, we want longevity and health and wealth, and God made us that way, because otherwise we'd all just be lazy bums, wouldn't we? And so God inspires us with the things that we have a heart to pursue. And so sometimes for evil, as many use it, they take the talents that God gives them and they use it for evil. But the church wants to use the talents God gives us, amen, for the church and for the glory of God. And that's, I've enjoyed the singing this morning. I must say, I attend churches where the old hymnals are taken out, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I can endure it, but I don't mean I enjoy it. There's a difference in enduring it and enjoying it, isn't it? So every time we go somewhere preaching or whatever the case, I'm not going to be too critical. I don't mind if they put it on the wall. Just put the good stuff on the wall. Amen. That's the main thing. And so I get it. You know, things change, but bless God, if we don't set a pattern for the young people, and thank God for the young ladies leading singing. That was a blessing. Amen. And so we appreciate those things, and oftentimes they become more valuable because they become more rare. Isn't that true? The rare jewels are the most valuable jewels, and so that's true in the church too. Amen. And so I know Brother Chris and his wife's having a good time. I trust they are vacating, and we're praying for them, safe travels, and God be with them, and give them a needed break and that kind of thing. We all have to get away. And if we don't, you know, if we don't come apart, we'll come apart, won't we? I borrow that from old David Lamb. He'd always say that. That was my father-in-law there. And he was like, yeah, son, if you don't come apart, you'll come apart. And that's true. It's got a lot of truth to it. But at any rate, we want to enjoy the good word of God. If you got your Bible, look with us this morning, and we will be in the Old Testament, 2 Kings is where we're going to begin reading. While you're turning there, I'm turning there too. 2 Kings, God's words, places we don't preach a lot, but there are some wonderful, wonderful truths out of God's word. 2 Kings chapter 2. I want to begin reading a little bit here in verses number 1, where the word said, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take Elijah up into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went to Gilgal unto Elisha and said, I pray thee for the Lord that has sent me to Bethel, and said unto him, as the Lord hath liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel." So go down to verse number 4. "And Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, that the Lord that sent me to Jericho, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came and said, knoweth not that the Lord shall take away thy master? And he said, yea, I know it, and I pray thee, tarry here, as the Lord will not leave thee. And they too went on." Look at verse 8. "And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together
and smote the waters, and thither so the two went over. And it came to pass as they were there, or they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee. And so here he said, watch this. He asked, and Elisha said, I would pray for a double portion of thy spirit that's upon thee to be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. So it came to pass as they were still went on and talked, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Now, for the sake of not reading anymore, because I'm not focusing in as I should, I might have picked up an older pair of glasses. But the point I want you to see here in chapter 2, as we read God's word, here is Elijah at the end of his ministry. And we know he has performed miracles. God has used him. God's put his hand upon him. And so as it's time for him to step aside, you know, sometimes we're seeing this where some of the guys my age are dawning on retirement age. A lot of us that came in together 30, 40 years ago are, you know, going out pretty much together. You know, we hear about, it's almost like when one triggers one, then it's like a snowball downhill. And so we're seeing some of that. And so here is where, in a spiritual application, God is taking Elijah, who has performed many miracles, and we know he stood before Ahab, and Ahab and Elijah, they didn't see eye to eye on a lot of things because of where they were spiritually. But here, God is ready to pass the torch. And this is what we're talking about in the relation, you know, in the workplace. The torch gets passed. And so some feel like, you know, they can stay forever or they're going to be there forever. And so age is never going to catch up with them. Just as when I was 25 and first pastoring, I didn't need any readers. I didn't need any glasses. I didn't need anything of that sort. But here we find that Father Time takes care of things, and we see this in the life of Elijah. Although Elijah was the most spiritual person on the top side of God's green earth at that time, and he's performing all of the miracles, he's faced Ahaz, he's dealt with him, God's used him, put his hand upon him, and all of these things have happened, and now it's time as he comes to the place where God is going to take him home. Matter of fact, this is one of the first places, not the first, but one of the first places where we see an ascension. Now, when we talk about the catching away of the church, that's what that is. It's an ascension where God's youngins, all of us, and all of God's other youngins that's not in here, are going to go up when the call comes. And when the call comes, bless God, we are taking flight. We sing about it. We talk about it. We rejoice about it. And all of these things we celebrate. And brother, this is where Elijah is a type of the church, in the fact that he is going up. And so here he has communed with his friend and his fellow preacher and his fellow prophet, and they've talked and they've seen all of these things that have been performed. But bless God, there's one more thing in Elijah's life that's about to take place, and that's the fact that God is about to graduate him. Yeah, he's performed and he's done what God's asked him to do, and he's went to the hard place. And you said, would Elijah have been willing to give his life? Absolutely he would. But thank God he didn't have to, because God had his hand on him. I'm going to tell you, sometimes people talk about what people go through and how they endure it. Sometimes it's naturally we endure it, and sometimes it's by divine providence. Amen. We see where we shouldn't ever came out of a situation. I remember an accident I was in a couple years ago.
And so I'm coming down the road in a truck that weighs 23,000 pounds, bucket truck. And so as I'm coming, I see a car that's facing me, and there's a little S-curve in it, not too steep. And so I'm watching the vehicle, and I'm noticing she's a little too far over. And so I gave her plenty of room. And then I gave her my whole lane. And I thought, there's nowhere else to go. And so here, as she proceeds, I didn't know that she was unconscious, but they feel like she was, that something with her health had failed, and she was in an unconscious state. But there was nowhere else to go. And so here I see, I'm going about 53 was my last speed check on the truck. And so here she proceeding, unconscious, doesn't know anything. And so it was 110 mile an hour collision head on right there. And so just like that, everything's changed in her life. And in my life, just like that. And we say, well, I'll always know how it'll always be, but we don't. We think we know. This is why it's in the scriptures where we're not going to say what we're going to do tomorrow. We're going to say, if the Lord will. That's what the old timer said. If the Lord will. And we remember when you was a kid and you'd hear the old timer say, Lord willing. You thought, well, why, you maybe you know that high, and you wonder like, well, why do they say Lord willing? And later on you figure out why they say Lord willing, because the book teaches that. Amen. And so if the Lord will, Jesus made it clear. Don't say I'm going here and yonder to the market tomorrow. Say if the Lord will. And that's a good practice. Because it keeps us conscious and makes other people conscious that every day's precious. Every day. So I was able to walk away from that wreck. And that lady, the first thing I done was open the door. So it's a million wonders I could have opened it. But my vehicle was so much heavier than hers. She took the brunt of it. And I could tell when I cracked the door open, I could see she was... She had gone home. And so she was DOA in that situation. But the thing is, we think, well, we know what's always going to happen in our life. We plan it, and we ought to plan it. That's no problem. Planning is not the problem. But understanding what God's going to do is where we want to be. We want to know His will. We want to know what He wants. We want to know what He expects of us. And so we have to treat every day like it's our last. And so here, this is what the scripture's talking about, and I apologize for that terrible reading, but so here you see this, that as God is passing the torch from Elijah to Elisha, here He's going to take him, and He is going to use him and put him right where He wants him. And God's got a plan for him. And so as you see it in chapter 2, verse 1, it came to pass that when the Lord would take Elijah up into heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And so here, as this transition's happening, it's happening as we're reading, it's happening right here. And so go over to verse number 14. As Elisha sees him going up, he took the mantle of Elijah. Mantle fell from him as Elijah was going up. He's passing the torch, church. We're going to have one of these days, all of us going to be gone, and this church is still going to be in effect. It's still going to be ministering. These young people are going to be taking over the roles. And so God's going to raise up preachers and singers and people that know how to pray and people that know how to fix and people that know how to entertain. I don't mean entertain in an entertainment way. I mean in a Bible way. Entertaining, feeding, loving people, caring for people. And so here we find it that as he took up, verse 13, he took up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan, and he, talking about Elisha now, remember, Elijah's passed the torch. Elisha, he's gone. He watched him go up. And there were people that thought, let's go search for him. Let's go find him. And he said, there's no finding him. You're not going to find him till you get over there. You know why? Because Elijah didn't go out. Bless God, he went up. Amen. And that's what the church is going to do. People say, well, I don't want to be a part of that church that's going out. Well, how about the church is going up? Amen. That's where we want to be. Bless God, we want to be right dead center of His will. When the Lord comes and calls His church home, I want you to hear that call. And if you're not saved and born again and bought by the rich red shed blood of Christ, I'm not so sure if you'll hear the call. So the call comes to the saints, and here we find it that Elisha has heard the call. Not only did he hear the call of God's manna falling upon him, but he heard the call of getting the word of God out. You'll see this if you go out and study. Won't take time to talk about it right now too much. But when you go back into your studies, watch this. And you'll see that the number of miracles recorded by Elijah were many. But they were twice as many recorded as in the life in Elisha. And so Elisha recorded twice the miracles. And remember what he prayed? He said, what will you do? What would you want? Well, wouldn't that be a blessing if mom and daddy asked you every time, what do you want? Oh, you'd have a list for them, wouldn't you? And so here Elijah's about to go up. God's taking him home. He's used him and he's blessed him. And now he's going to graduate him. And he said, tell me what you want, Elisha. You tell me what you want, son. And he said, I don't want anything. I don't want a new Cadillac. I don't want a limousine. I don't want a Ferrari. He said, bless God, I want one thing, a double portion. Don't you like this? I tell you, you know why he done I believe he done double the miracles because he got the double portion. And so here, when he said, if you see me when I go up, I tell you, brother, I believe there's going to be folks, this lost world, this unsaved world is going to be surprised and amazed. And I trust and believe by the type of what we're reading right here in 1 Kings and 2 Kings, bless God, I believe, could be wrong, doesn't matter, it's not that important, but I do believe that there are going to be those that are going to see it and miss it. And I wonder how many times people are going to recognize and realize and pray, God, give them one more shot. But they'll have to go through the end time tribulation, won't they? Because Jesus is not going to put it in reverse to come back and get you if you miss the call. If you don't heed the warnings, you know, we see that the first instance we see of a catching away is in the book of Genesis, and how that God took him out and he went up and he was not found. Talking about Enoch's translation, he went up and he went out. He was a type. He was a picture. God was showing him a picture of what the catching away is going to be. That's what he's doing in Elisha's life. He's showing him what a catching away looks like. I promise you, I trust that Elisha was very spiritual, don't you? We know Elijah was, and we trust Elisha was. There's no question, doubt about it. But I promise you, he was more spiritual after that experience. After he watched that, and he said, he told of the things that he saw. And as he said it here, when he went up, you'll see it where God has put his hand upon him and took him. And God's using him now and ministering through him and to him. And so here, Elisha took the mantle, verse 14, last thing I want you to see. He took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where's the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted thither and hither, and Elisha went over. And the sons of the prophets which were there to view at Jericho saw him, and they said, "The spirit of Elijah," watch this, they saw it. You, it's like real faith, you can see it, can't you? People say, well, it's transparent. Not necessarily. It's not when you can see it. It's not transparent. And see this last thing I want to show you. And so they came to view, and they came to meet him and bowed themselves unto the ground. And so not only did he give him the power, bless God, he gave him the call. So I like that verse 14. He took the mantle. Church, see this. This is where it's at. He took the mantle. What's God want from you and I? He wants us to take the mantle. That passing of the torch. The young people, we talked about this. God's going to put his hand on and he's going to seal them. And he's going to put his mission in their heart. And we see this. We've watched this in ministry. Some of you that are much older than I, you've seen this. You've watched this. And here God is doing an example right here that we can't get away from. How that God is moved and ministered. And the word said that the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha, and they came to meet him and to bow before him themselves to the ground. And they said unto him, "Behold now, behold thy servants, 50 strong men, and let them go look, we pray thee, for the master." There's no need to go look. They're wanting to put out a search party for Elijah, but there's no need to search. And that's where people are going to be that miss the second coming of Christ. They're going to miss the catching away of the church. Those that miss it, they miss it. You know what's going to happen? There's no going to be no coming back, no do-overs. Bless God, we've got to get this thing right and make sure we know and know that our family knows. They have to hear the story. Brother, I want to tell you, it's powerful. So he took the mantle. And you know what he done when he took the mantle? Bless God, he performed the miracles. So this is where I want to throw out an anchor for you. Not keep you too long. God has a mission. God has a design. God has a plan for every one of us in this building. God has something he wants us to do. And he's not bashful about showing us what it is. You know, I was called to preach. I was 19. And I was under deep conviction. I was saved. I got saved probably, that was May of 87. So a little bit longer, a few months, maybe a year, whatever it was. I felt the call to preach. I was burdened about it. Burdened, because I wasn't signing up to preach. Wasn't so interested in preaching. Never thought about it, actually. But I was under such conviction. And so a preacher was given the invitation. And I come up and I said, you know, he's quiet about it, like you are in the altars. I told him, I said, "Well, I don't know. I think God's got something for me to do, but I don't know what it is." He said, "I think you know what it is." And which was true. Wasn't being smart alecky, it was true. God don't give us a call without a commission, does he? And that's where we are, church. We got to follow up on the commission that he's gave us. Proceed even when we don't feel like we're adequate. The young people have to step in those roles. Why? Because the church only goes forward when the church is unified and on the same team. Amen. And going in the same direction and realizing the gray heads are not always going to be here. I'm one of them. We're all going to cycle out of here one day. And we have to have a church prepared to do the Lord's work. And that's what God's doing right here in Elijah. Elijah's leaving. I didn't take time to read it all. I didn't want to suffer you through that. But this is what we see. We see it. When God puts a commission on our heart, church, we have to hear it. Number one, if we don't hear it, we'll get in a fix with God. God knows how to hem his people up. I'm glad that Elisha was willing. But do you know how many in God's word wasn't willing? Let's talk about Brother Jonah for half a second. God told him, go preach. You know what he said? I'd rather jump out of this boat. And so he told him straight up, you know, here's this storm. I mean, this is a storm, brother. This thing is just going crazy. Don't you love that? That's one of the most beautiful four chapters in God's word. Got to read it. If you ain't read it lately, read it again. And see all the humor. People say, well, God don't understand how to laugh. God does laugh. He laughs at calamity of the wicked. But God also has joy in his youngins. And here's Jonah. And he said, look, fellas, it ain't going to get no better. He told them, I'm a backslid preacher. I ain't doing the will of God. If you want this thing to stop, throw me out. And they're like, well, we really don't want to do that, but I guess we will. So they threw him out of the boat, and them seas went calm. You can't make that up, can you? And then God prepared. Remember what else he prepared? A great fish. And that great fish, brother, was waiting on Jonah, going to make a snack out of him. Of course, God didn't let that happen. But somebody said a backslid preacher would make anybody sick. That old fish vomited Jonah up. True story. He vomited Jonah up. Jonah come up, brother. When he come up from there, you know what he was looking for? He was thinking, bless God, which way's Nineveh? That's where I'm headed. He didn't want to go. God told him to go to Nineveh and preach. And he said, I don't want to go down there. I'd rather go somewhere else. I'm going to hop on a boat, Lord. But when God got done with that great fish, what the book said, he vomited Jonah out. And Jonah went and preached. And you know what? Had a great revival. In closing, I tell you this. Had a great revival. Thousands upon thousands of heathens got saved in it. Made Jonah mad. See, you just can't figure out humanity, can you? It made Jonah mad. And God talked to him about it and got him straightened out. And then in the book of Matthew, he makes a reference to Jonah. The Lord does. There's so much in God's word that we ought to see and enjoy. The comedy of God's word. We think sometimes we disappoint the Lord, and we do. But I tell you, church, God does not give up on his youngins, and he does not give up on his church, and he's got a plan for us all. And bless God, we just got to be faithful to see it through. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Brother, you come and close as you will.